Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So I'm going to do what's called the Muqaddamatul Mu'allif. Muqaddama, just for those of you who are interested in Arabic, comes from the word Qadam. And Qadam, you know, means feet or foot. So it's the beginning of the Mu'allif or the feet of the Mu'allif. But what we would say is the author's introduction. So the Muqaddama literally means introduction because it's what you enter with. So it comes from the word Qadam. Muqaddamatul Mu'allif. Mu'allif is the author, the one who has done ta'lif, the one who has written the text. Okay. So he begins, it's very interesting, it's actually quite theological, his introduction in of itself. So Alhamdulillah al-wajib wujudi, that all praise belongs to God, whose existence is necessary. Yeah, wajib al-wujud, whose existence is necessary. There is a footnote here. And basically the commentator is saying that wajib in the wujubahu lizatihi, that his existence is in of itself. He doesn't exist because of something else. Laysa an illatin awjadatu, like nothing else or nobody else has brought him into existence. So he is necessarily existent. And Baqa means perpetual, right? Al-wasi' judahu wa'ata'u, and whose jud means God's generosity. God's generosity and his kindness, al-wasi', comes from the word wasi'. Wasi' means it's broad, it's immense. Al-qadim, and qadim is obviously a theological term here as well. So it's interesting that he's using these terms here. Qadim basically means pre-eternal, right? Like his birr and his ihsan, his beneficence and his generosity to us, his favor upon us is eternal, qadim. Right, that's the word that's being used here. Let me get my highlighter. Birr and ihsan. Al-amim, qulahu wa imtina'uhu, and his grace, if you like, his grace and his might is, and again, he's using the word amim, means general. Amim means, it comes from the word am, which means general. So it's for everybody. Then he says, al-munazzah. Munazzah, you might have heard of the word tanzih. Tanzih means, I guess an English translation would be transcendent. He is his essence, that this is a word that we will come across quite a lot in the beginning of the text, that like God in his essence is transcendental, right? From what? An kulli shabihin wa misalin. And these two words are important as well, which we'll cover later on. Shabi and misal, that God in his essence is transcendent beyond any resemblance and beyond any sort of misal, any kind of like image. Right, so he doesn't resemble anyone, nor does he have like there's something like God, right? Laysa kamithlihi shay, which is a verse that we will come back to later on. And then he continues, al muta'al fi sifati. Now he's talking about the attributes, sifat are the attributes, right? And al muta'al is, I guess, a word you can use is that he's exalted. Ta'ala Allah, as we say. You know, when we say Allah Ta'ala, that Allah is exalted in his attributes, and التغيير والزوال, that his attributes don't change and neither do they come to an end. Zawal, right? You might have heard of the word Zawal in prayer times. When we say Zawal, which is the zenith, which is like the midday. So here it means that his attributes don't change. And we'll talk about why we hold that belief. And they don't come to an end. So he begins by praising God, as is the way as Muslims do. Then he turns to the Prophet, peace be upon him, wassalatu wassalam ala rasuli, praise, salutations upon the Prophet, his Prophet, who he has said with truth, bilhaq, with truth. Da'iyan, da'i is someone that calls, right? Calls to the truth. Bilhaq da'iyan, he's calling to truth. Walil khalki hadiyan, but he is also a means of guidance for creation. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, wa ala alihi, and his family, And he also says, "A'immatul huda wa masabih al-duja," the leaders of guidance. And masabih literally means lanterns, like lanterns. Duja means like in the darkness of in the darkest moments, like in the darkness of night. So these people are the sunnah is, and you come across references often the sunnah being light. This metaphor, vivid example of the sunnah being light. And of course, this word masabi also comes, is referred to in the light verses of the Quran, right? Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Mathalu nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbah. So this is the plural here, but in the Quran, the singular is brought forward. Wa ba'du. And then he says, let's proceed. And now he's going to justify, and you see this like in every science. Everyone who's a specialist in that science wants to say that their science is the most superior. So he's gonna do the same here for us. He says, "Fa'inna ajall al-ulum," the most noble, the most sublime science, the most elevated science, and wa awjabuha ala al-aql, and one that is necessary for the intellect to acquire, and the first of it is ilm usul al-din. The knowledge pertaining to the foundations of religion, right? This is like the most important thing that you need to know this, right? When a person, when we have children, you know, we teach them these things. When a person enters the fold of Islam, or we're talking to them about Islam, we begin by talking about what is our creed. It says usuluddin. Now, it's interesting the language he's using here, which will come later on. He doesn't use this. He doesn't say aqidah. I'll come to that later on. He just says ilm usul. Usul means the foundations, what something is built upon, the pillars of that science. So he says the pillars or the foundations of religion, usul al-din. What is that? Yashtamilu ala ma'rifati Allah ta'ala, which includes knowing God, may he be exalted. And he says here, allati hiya aslun. This is the foundation of all knowledge. And it is also the source of sa'ada. The word sa'ada is very important in Islamic understanding, because sa'ada means felicity, happiness, if you like, for want of a better word. Sa'adatul abad, eternal joy, eternal bliss, which is something that every human being, sound of mind, would want, which is bliss and happiness. Okay. And he says, لِأَجْلِهَا خُلِكَ الثَّقَلَانِ. ثَقَلَانِ, you'll hear it in the verse in the Quran as well, which refers to the two creations, which is humankind and jinnkind. And later on, in the actual text itself, Imam Tahawi talks about, under prophetology, the notion, the idea that Islam is not just for human not just for the humankind, but also for the jinnkind. Okay, so he says that this is why you were created. Ajal means why you were created, or why human beings and jinns were created, to worship God, to know God. And he brings a verse from the Quran in Surah Zariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. God says in the Quran that I have not created humankind and jinnkind. It's interesting, maybe later on I'll talk about why jinn comes first. It's interesting that God says the jinnkind first, and then he says mankind afterwards. We'll come to that later on. But وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I just mentioned that because it's an interesting discussion to have at some point. So I've not created jinnkind and humankind except that they worship me. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And this is in the Quran. He does like a tafsir here. When God says to worship me, it means liya'rifuni, to know me, right? That you have not been created. Your whole purpose of existence is that you are to worship God. And by worshiping God, you come to know God. And this is what Ibn Abbas has said. And Ibn Abbas, he refers to here as a tarjumanul Quran. Ibn Abbas is often referred to, may Allah be pleased with him, as the tarjuman, as the one who gives us an understanding of the Quran. Okay. So then he brings the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, So he's brought a verse of the Quran, which is usually the methodology of the scholars, and then they bring in traditions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So he says this is what the Prophet referred to as the Ra'sul Im. Ra's means the head, literally means the head in Arabic, but like the fountainhead of knowledge. When a Bedouin, when a Bedouin came to the Prophet and he said to him that, teach me like gharaibul ilm, like things that are obscure when it comes to knowledge, O Prophet of God. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Maza alimta fi ra'sul ilm?" Right? And so the Prophet asked him, that what have you done about foremost knowledge? So he asked him, what is this foremost knowledge? Why is this ra'sul ilm? Like, what is the most, what do you mean by this, O Prophet of God, when you say ra'sul ilm? So he says, ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal. This is knowing a God, may he be exalted. And this is mentioned by Imam Malik, for example. And he's given some reference to where this is mentioned as well in the books of hadith. Okay. Now, وَقَدْ تَفَرَّقَتَ الْفِرْقُ فِيهِ لَكِنَّ الْفِرْقَةَ النَّاجِيَةَ مِنْهَا الَّتِي إِشَارَ إِلَيْهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So he says that people have differed about this. This is what we just mentioned before. And then he brings in this interesting hadith that we've probably come across before. لَكِنَّ الْفِرْقَةُ النَّاجِيَةُ. However, the sect that will attain salvation is the one to whom the Prophet has made ishara. He's alluded towards it. Now, this hadith, there's a lot of discussion about what this hadith means. Is it authentic and so forth? We will maybe I share stuff with you later on, or maybe I do a separate session on it. But let's just stick with it for now. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Walladhi nafsu Muhammad biyadihi lataftariqanna ummati ala thalathati wa sab'in." He basically said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, by the one in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, my nation will split into 73 sects. And then he says, only one of them will be Jannah, right? And the rest of them, i.e. the 72, will be in the fire, right? Right, and as this, so in the footnotes, they're talking about the authenticity of this hadith and so forth. So the Prophet was asked, O Messenger of God, who are these people? So the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is where we get this title of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, right? That we are the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that these people of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So they asked him, who are the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? So then the Prophet replied, "Ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi," that those people, they will be those who are upon what I am upon and my companions are upon. And then he comments, "Fayambaghi lil-aqil," that an intelligent person, it behooves an intelligent person to do mulazim. Lazim means like to follow the way of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَيُجَانِبْ, and that they protect themselves from the path أَهْلُ الْهَوَى وَالْبِدْعَ. But you know what bid'ah means, people of innovation. Hawa basically means people who follow their desires. So people who claim to be intelligent otherwise, but in reality, they are following desires. And he says, فَإِنَّ الْأُولَى الْتَّرِيكَ الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّحَابَةُ وَمَضَى عَلَيْهِ الْأَسْلَافُ وَالصَّالِحُونَ. So this is like, this is the following, the path that we want to follow. Okay. And many scholars, he says, وَقَدْ تَصَدَّى لِبَارِبَيْنَ كَثِيرٌ مِنْ أُمَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَفَرَسَانِ عِلْمٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَصْحَبُ وَأَطْنَبَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَوَسَطَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْتَخَبَ. So he says that people have written many things of this, right? And many people have written texts on this as well. And then he goes into some discussion around this. Like people have written many commentaries in terms of what the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is. Some have written some really detailed commentaries, and some have written some moderate ones, and some are very selective. Like they've written very short commentaries. So there's different types. Obviously, the Aqidah Tahawiyah that we're covering, or we're hoping to cover, inshallah, is a very simple text on Aqidah. It's not like, it doesn't go into the proofs, it doesn't go into the debates, but we will cover that through this commentary that we're using. Okay. And he says basically that the one that is most like concise, the one that is like most beautiful, right, is none other than a text that we're hoping to cover, which is this one by Abu Ja'far Tahawi, right? And it's been accepted by the Ummah. And then he says that people have recited it, qira'ah, they have memorized it. So we are expected to memorize it. When we were studying, we were expected to memorize this text. And people still teach it to their children and they expect them to memorize it. When you read the Arabic, it's beautiful because it flows as well. So it has a rhythmic sense to it because of its many benefits. And also it's wording, right? The word uzuba is interesting because it has the same meaning as azab, punishment, right? And but azab also means something that tastes very nice. So there's a very interesting way of understanding this word. But it's delightful. The linguistic way it's written, it's very delightful. And so he says that many people have written commentaries on it, shuruhat fa sharahtu lahu. So I've written one as well, but I've written a mukhtasar one, an abbreviated one, right? And I've written in such a way, I penned it in such a way that I've intended to make clear its secrets. Anything that's a little bit difficult to understand, mushkilat, as we say, things that are mushkil, difficult, I've intended to remove them. Wayakshif. You might have heard of what kashf, which is often used in tasawwuf and Sufi circles, this idea of unveiling. So I'm unveiling its like hidden aspects, things that might be difficult for you. Trusting mu'tabirin ala Allah, trusting upon Allah for his faith. Again, this word mufiz is very interesting because it comes from the word father yafuz, which means faith, divine benefit, divine radiance. Right, God's goodness and His generosity, and wahibun wujudu kullu mawjudin, because He is the one that grants existence to everything. Okay, let's carry on because we have a few more minutes. Walamma jaa fi ghayat al-husn wa al-nazara. So he basically says that I wrote this book. I didn't give it a title at the beginning. And I was thinking, what should I call it? Mutafakkiran fi muddati min al-zaman. Like, what should I, whose name I should dedicate it, right? And so it remains a legacy for that person. So who should I name it after? You'll find it sometimes that many students, when they write stuff, they don't ascribe it usually to themselves always. They ascribe it to someone that they had benefited from, like their teachers. Because in Islamic tradition, there's a lot of respect and adab for one's teachers. Sometimes they mention a teacher's name or they mention something that alludes towards that teacher. So he said, I looked into my heart, he says, and basically I turned, what he says here is, I turned to God, basically. What he calls here, Mazanul Ghaib, and I turned towards a Majjanil Ghaib. Madyan al-Ghaib is like, the translation would be the unseen Madyan, right? And this is taken from the verse in the Quran which talks about Madyan, right? So in other words, I contemplated over this, right? And he's kind of like going into, so he, even though he's a theologian here, he's talking about the tasawwuf, he's talking about Sufism here. And he says that I began to receive divine inspirations. Right. And he kind of uses very colorful language, which I can't really do justice here. But basically, he's saying that I receive like inspiration in my soul from what's called Alamul Quds. Alamul Quds is like this, you kind of get into metaphysics here, but it's this realm that's really close to the divine being. Right. And so, you know, these things started coming into me. And he says that, And so he kind of goes into a lot of detail, and then it's very colorful language. I mean, you'd have to try and read the translation. But anyway, he kind of like says, I reflected upon this. I thought about who to write, who I would call. And in the end, he kind of says, you know, I thought about this as well. And he kind of says later on, you can read in your own time in terms of why he wrote the book. And he talks about, so he mentions a sheikh here, Saifuddin Sheikh al-Maliki al-Nasiri wal-Nasiri Shar Ghadmush al-Maliki al-Salihi, right? And basically that's how it came to him, right? This sheikh that he had. And so he mentions why he named his book after him. And you can read this in the translation in your own time. And he says, I presented to him, and this book became accepted as this one, as the Shara of Ghaznavi. We don't really need to go into it because we're not really interested in that so much, but we're more interested in the actual text itself, which is the Aqidat al-Tahawiyyah, right? And then he says, let's go into the text. So Imam Tahawi now begins. Now, some of you will have the translation by Hamza Yusuf. You'll have different translations. Just to get us started on the right foot, I'm just going to go through the first part that Imam Tahawi talks about. Okay. So this is Tahawi saying this. So this is the one that you will have in English. This text in bold is the actual English. What's here? This is just his commentary. So the bold is the actual text of Aqidat Tahawiyyah. So Imam Tahawi says, may Allah be pleased with him, right? Haza dhikru bayanu aqidat al-sunnah wal-jama'ah. This is an exposition, bayan, of the creed, the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, right? So that's what he says at the beginning. And he says, he's referring to obviously the hadith that we've talked about before, right? And then he says, ala mazhab, upon the school of the jurists of religion. Now, he mentions Abu Hanifa and Nu'man bin Thabit al-Kufi. Abu Hanifa and Nu'man bin Thabit al-Kufi. And we'll talk about this later on. And then he also mentions his student Abu Yusuf, Qadi Abu Yusuf, who was the first ever state judge. Qadi Abu Yusuf, Ya'qub bin Ibrahim al-Ansari. Also mentioning him as well. And he mentions the second student of Imam Abu Yusuf, Abu Abdullah Muhammad Hassan al-Shaybani. These two are collectively called Abu Yusuf. We usually say Abu Yusuf for short, and we say Imam Muhammad, or we say Muhammad Hassan al-Shaybani. They are usually called the Sahibain, the two companions of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa had many students who excelled, but these two were particularly exemplary in Islamic history. وَمَا يَتَعْقِدُونَ فِي أُسُلُ الدِّينِ وَيَدِينُونَ بِهِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So he says that this is based on, this text is based on the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah upon the Fuqaha, the jurists, in particular Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad. And وَمَا يَعْتَقِدُونَ فِي أُسُلُ الدِّينِ وَيَدِينُونَ بِهِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And it consists, this text that we're going to cover, we've just started now, it consists of the religion that they believed in, وَيَدِينُونَ بِهِ, and which they submitted to, which is the Lord of the worlds. So we've actually begun the text. We've just read the first bit. And inshallah, next week, I'll try and go into a little bit more detail with you on that as well.